Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the RHAP coverage of Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. Yes, you heard it right. We're doing it, folks. I'm your MC, Sasha Joseph, or funsize_04 on Twitter. And some of you might have watched the RHAP Rewind with Robin Chappelle and fell in love with the show. And some of you might be hearing this for the first time. Doesn't matter how you heard it. I'm just grateful you're here listening to my favorite reality show. So obviously, let me know all your thoughts, what you're thinking about the show, what you think about this episode using the hashtag Love and Rehap Up. And before I introduce my guest, I wanted to say a few things. Love and Hip Hop is the second installment of the series Love and Hip Hop, and in my opinion, the best one. This is a self-titled docu-soap franchise, and it takes the Atlanta surviving for stardom in the rap game while trying to survive relationships and family struggles. This is its 10th season, but don't fret if you're just getting on the hype train, because we have fresh faces and stories that we're just getting to know. Episodes can be found on VH1 and older ones are on Paramount Plus. YouTube also has a lot of great clips and evolution of the characters. So if you want to learn more, that's always a great place to go. And I want to know that this show centers Black voices. So I want to note that I am not Black, but a fan of hip hop and its cultural impact on all of us. I moved to this country as an immigrant, accent and all, when I was 14 to Oklahoma. So you can probably guess that there wasn't a lot of diversity. I was looking for a connection and immediately found a group of friends who happened to be Black. We had the same loving but stern families, same respect for our culture. And I finally found people who understood what it really meant to be different or the other. They actually introduced me to hip hop. And when I tell you, I was in love. Because of hip hop's cultural impact on almost everything, I really wanted to bring this to RHAP, to bring a variety of experiences to all of us so that hopefully you may find some of that connection that I did. And now that all this admin stuff is out of the way, I want to introduce a very, very special guest, Mr. 100 Episodes, our Freak of the Year, Mr. Purple Pants Podcast, the one, the only, Bryce Isaiah.
Yes, Sasha, thank you so much for having me for this first installment of the, what is it? The Love and Hip Hop Rehappa. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. We made it. I feel like I needed some iconic music here.
Yes. I mean, look, you say that for episode two, you know, sometimes the technical difficulties can get you, much like Love and Hip Hop in the earlier series. So, yes, I'm so excited that you have asked me to be your first guest. And I'm so excited and inspired just hearing your story about, you know, you feeling different and having friends and really being able to relate to music. So I really got something out of that. Now I do got to ask you a question though.
Yes.
So when you was in like high school, was you wearing like a backwards hat? Like, you know,
So I definitely had baby fat, Rockaware, G-Unit. Like I was wearing all of that. I actually went to formal with like a white baby fat dress on. So I was that kid.
Yes. Come on. Elise Simmons with the baby fat.
Yes.
And what was the Russell Simmons?
Fat Farm.
Okay. Then there was the Rockaware. Child,
yes.
I had some Rockaware velour sweatsuits in my day in
right.
high school.
Yes.
Listen, with my S dots. Okay.
Oh, yes. And I literally was obsessed with G Unit. So, like, I had the like girl version of that clothing. It was a mess.
Yeah, girl, I was about to say, Sasha, that was corny even when it was hot. Okay.
Exactly. Oh my God. I don't know why. I was like, this is so cool. Granted, I was in Oklahoma, everyone. I was really trying to fit in. Okay. But seriously, Bryce, first of all, congratulations, mazel on 100 episodes. I heard the podcast this morning. So I'm in awe.
I appreciate that. We out here 100.
period. You know, and I know we've never podcasted before, but again, like, thank you so much for being on here, saying yes, you know, for this, I feel like, wild podcast series.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And even on my 100th episode, I asked, you know, members of the Purple Pants Posse to send in submissions, and they really kind of sort of gave me my flowers. And a lot of some things that I felt like people were saying to me was that I like inspired them. And I'm all like, who said that? Who, like, you know, who you you're not talking about me. So I think that it is important for me to receive that. And in receiving that, I think it's important for me to do stuff like this, like, you know, with podcasters like you, because, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I could be the little Kim of the RHAP. Okay. Yes. And I could usher in the Sasha and the Stallions, okay, and the Chappelle Bees.
Yes. Oh, can't wait for Chappelle and I to come out with our own remix now.
Oh, God. Hopefully he's not too busy at work.
Oh, not this. Not this.
Yes. Okay. It's on the Love and Hip Love and Hip Hop Rap Up 2, Chappelle.
Oh, my God. Yes, love that. And, you know, before I feel like we get started, I gotta know, you know, what's your connection to the show? Have you watched it? Tell me everything.
So I've seen all of the franchises. I think there's maybe about 4 or 5 of them now. I love them. I feel like the good thing about Love and Hip Hop franchise is that you don't necessarily have to have seen every season. You know, the episodes really kind of like build off of each other. And there are some seasons that, like, I watch the first 3 episodes and then I'm done. And then there are other seasons where I continuously watch the whole season. I feel like I love Love and Hip Hop New York. Ooh. I feel like that's like the original. I love when, yes, they brought Remy on there. I love, you know, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, but I really am, I feel like, particular to Love and Hip Hop LA. I've seen every episode because, you know, they had my girl Tierra Marie on there. And, you know, is there any girls around how to make a girl feel that wanna make a girl? So, you know, Tierra was my boo. And little do people know about Tierra Marie. You know, some consider her a one-hit wonder. But, you know, Tierra Marie was on, signed under Rockefeller, and Tierra Marie was actually supposed to be the Rihanna, exactly, of Rockefeller. But, you know, Rihanna came around and they kind of sort of like shift all motions to Rihanna. So I kind of always just felt bad for Tierra Marie, but I love Tierra Marie. I love Ray J. Ooh. I love Young Bird. So I feel more invested in Love and Hip Hop LA just because I felt like they were a group of people that I really, really grew up with. That probably is my favorite franchise, second to New York, third to Atlanta.
Oh, I love this. I love that. I have never heard someone say Hollywood before. So this is like perfect to me because Hollywood brought in, I feel like, famous people that I think a lot of the mainstream audience will know, like Omarion is even on there and a few
Little
other
Fizz,
people.
Okay. Who ended up dating his baby mom and then they broke up. And then his crazy baby mom, Monice, who I love.
Oh my God. Monice is literally the best. And she made a cameo on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta too. So A1 and Lyrica, like, oh my God. Hollywood, yes, has really like famous people, I feel like. And they, each one does, but I feel like Hollywood brought in, I think, the new era for Love and Hip Hop versus, I think, in Atlanta, which is like very much like it goes by the cast and the cast is just so fun. It doesn't matter who they are. In New York, of course, our queen Cardi B was on the show and then got big from the show. So we're hoping that happens for our 2 new cast members on this show as well.
Don't hold your breath, girl. I mean, no shade.
No, but for real,
the Cardi B's is exciting for it to happen to Cardi B, but baby, it's once in a blue. And I feel like with the new people that are on the season, like, I don't even pay them no mind. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. I watched the first two episodes and I was like, okay, I want to know about Rashida and Kirk and their family. First of all, where's Mama D at? Like, oh. I want to, like, you know, I was more into the older people. And then I like how they have, what's her name? Yandy from mm-hmm. New York. Then they got Carly Red over on this side. I'm like, what's going on? But that is another thing that I really do love about the Love & Hip Hop franchise is that they like swap cast members a lot. So, you know, if, you know, New York ain't doing that well, they might pull somebody from Hollywood to go fly in and film. So I do love that because it's interesting to see how the characters mesh together.
Yes. And that's exactly what Safari is. I feel like he is, you know, the movie Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Like he is that cast member that just fits everywhere because I believe he's been in every franchise now. I believe he's been in Miami, too. So.
Oh, I forgot about Miami too. Yes. No, yes. With Shay and Bobby Lights and Trina. Oh no, wait. I forgot about Love & Hip Hop Miami. So wait, let me recategorize my order. So it would be Hollywood, Miami, then like I feel like Atlanta and New York are like just the two OGs. So it's like I always watch them, but I forgot about Hollywood, Miami with Trina and Amira Nalegra.
Yeah, I feel like Miami, like, and Pretty Ricky is on the Miami one, which I was like, oh my God, that was high school. You know, when you were at your Let homecoming thing. Hotline.
Come on the hotline. So mind you, I don't ever know the words, but I know the beat.
Let me stop.
Because back in the day, what's not Pleasure P? Is it Slick Rick? No.
Not
Baby Blue. Okay, he about to go to jail for his PPA loan fraud. No, not him. What's his name? And I don't want to describe
him. The fourth one. I really don't know his name.
No. Oh, my God. And I don't want to describe him because then Wendell going to say I have a type. But he's the rapper.
In Pretty Ricky, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to describe him again because I don't want people to think that I have a type.
Wait, you have to now.
No.
Oh, Marcus Cooper.
No, girl. No, group members. Where are we at? Here we go.
Oh, Diamond Blue Smith's
Spectacular. Yes, Spectacular was my favorite.
Oh, yes. I looked him up. I forgot his name was Spectacular. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then, child, the group done said he done stole the rights to the Facebook page and been making millions, and they've been giving none of them none. Listen, I know all the tea about the Love & Hip Hops. So you get me excited. Sorry.
No, I love it. That's exactly the point. We want to get excited about this show because it's wild. Like, I just don't think people understand, like, what they're missing out on. So speaking of, you know, we did a little, I feel like, recap of the Love & Hip Hop franchise. So when we got a little bit of like, hey, we've been gone for a year, you know, COVID, production switches, they had a lot of little messy situations, finding a production house. And now, you know, we're finally on and we get a few of the iconic throwbacks, but I feel like they missed a few. So in the recap, Bryce, do you feel like in Atlanta, like what are your favorite moments in these past 10 years?
Of Atlanta, you can't say Love & Hip Hop Atlanta without Jocelyn, Mimi Frost. Go put on your clothes, maid. Okay.
Molly the maid.
Okay. You can't forget Stevie J and that look. You can't forget Mimi Child on the shower pole. There, you know, and Jocelyn Hernandez is definitely a mess of a mess. But, you know, we love a Jocelyn and Love & Hip Hop Atlanta has given us Mama D. OK, I do my hair lash in that order. OK, listen, Mama D got some bops and word on the street is she got a new single coming out with the premiere of this season. So, I mean, I love it all. I'm here for the messes. I always love to support the like trash songs that come out from this.
Mariah Lynn from Love and Above New York. Oh my God.
Now, wait a minute, Sasha. Now, before you go in on Mariah Lynn, let me just tell you one thing about Mariah Lynn.
Yes.
She actually can write. Like, I didn't download two of Mariah, you know, on SoundCloud. Ooh. But, you know, I didn't download two of Mariah Lynn's mixtapes. And this is like Mariah Lynn can write. So I just, there are sometimes you get like some really good people that can like write and you discover the music. Now, Mariah Lynn hasn't really crossed over, but don't be shading Mariah Lynn because
I love her song, the Once Upon a Time Not Long Ago. Oh, let me stop. Let me, you know, get it back.
It wasn't that long for me, okay? More like yesterday. But, I mean, listen, you got to live in your truth, okay?
Exactly. And we get a little bit of, you know, these iconic moments that did happen. Thankfully, they gave us a few. We got Kirk, who had cheated on his wife, Rashida, who we end up seeing here a lot of times. This man got a lot of kids. And he, you know, he kind of opens this episode with how his mother-in-law, Rashida's mom, ran over his bike with her car because she's like, you're cheating, here you go. So this is the kind of mess you need to expect from this show. And then you have Carly Red, who literally falls to the floor because she thought she was about to get proposed to by Life Jennings. Again, an amazing rapper. I can't believe they got him on the show. And she thought he was proposing to her, but guess what? He was not. And this is not her first time, Bryce, that she has gotten a proposal taken back.
Yeah, she didn't been with what's his name from
No the, Neck Benzino.
Benzino. She didn't been with the boy Young from Jock. Young Jock. She didn't been with the Ink Crew on VH1.
Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot about the Ink Crew.
Okay.
Oh my. One thing about Carly Red, she's going to have a man on the show.
She's going to have a boo. And one thing that I do love about Carly is that she's a woman of a certain age. And like the fact that she's still out here pulling them, I'm all here for Carly. I live for her.
Yes. And this season, she's going to bring in Lamar Odom.
Child, she got her and Wendy Williams fighting over him. Yes. I can't even take it. I just can't get over Lammy. Whenever I think of Lammy, I always think of when Kim Kardashian, when he was married to Khloe, and she told him his breath stink, and she took him to the dentist to get rid of his like rotten teeth.
That's
what I always think about Lamo or him. But clearly he needs a check, okay? Because he just was celebrity boxing with Aaron Carter.
Yeah. I actually saw that. Oh my God. It was very just Lamar. I mean, I think Love and Hip Hop's an upgrade from that. I really do think that.
I mean, no, for sure. He's got a big enough name and, you know, Mona Scott can provide a check. So
yes, Cardi B said it, got another check from Mona Scott.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of Khloé, did you see him and Tristan fighting under Khloé's Instagram?
Child, Tristan needs to worry about fighting to keep his hootie hoo in his panty pants.
I saw this tweet that someone said no one defends their girl like someone's a cheater.
Right.
And I was like, oh. So real. So that's why I know that obviously this Carly Red, Lamar Odom thing isn't going to work, but I'm so excited. She constantly is pulling. So with that, you know, I feel like we should get into it. We really should get into this. Bryce, any storyline you want to start with?
So we can start with what people are alleging is the manufactured storyline, which would be Safari and Erica Mena.
Let's do it.
They had their own wedding special. You know, Safari left Love and Hip Hop New York to come to Atlanta. They've had a child. We know that, you know, Safari is Nicki Minaj's ex. Mm-hmm. He got with Erica Mena, who also has been with several people on the show.
And Bow Wow.
Yeah, yes. Who hasn't Bow Wow been with?
Real.
But over, like, you know, and the one thing that the Love and Hip Hop reminds me a lot of is like the Housewife franchise, mm-hmm. is where the franchise lives off of the tabloids. So, you know, a lot of the times you just don't know when you see people that are on Love and Hip Hop, like, you know, trending on social media, like the Shade Room or anywhere else, like, is it real or is it for the ratings? And we see that Erica Mena and Safari have been going back and forth on the Twitter in the mm-hmm. same house. Safari talking about the marriage was the worst thing in the world for him. We see he went to court asking to be in the room of the baby delivery. And there was a huge, like, you know, so Love and Hip Hop came out 2 weeks ago, came out on a Monday night. Child, this rumor mill and hit the rumor mill on Saturday that Erica accused one of her old friends who happened to be Joe Button's ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. who happened to be Safari's friend, that they were cheating on each other and she had the receipts. And it really caused this huge uproar. And then, like, you know, when I first was reading it, sorry, I don't mean to talk so much, but no, I'm like, please. Oh my God, this is crazy. Then I'm like, oh shit, the Love and Hip Hop come on tomorrow. Kind of convenient. So I don't know. And then, of course, the first scene that we see Safari and Erica, are they on good terms? No, they're in the midst of this falling out. So I just, I don't know.
I agree with you. First of all, because we get Erica, right, with the Bams and Sierra talking about, oh, I don't know. We haven't talked. First of all, how you live in the same house and you never talk to each other? You're telling me you've never talked to him? You need therapy. And instead, you're over here on the show just wilding, acting a fool. And Safari, to me, seems like he just doesn't care. He literally was like, get over it. Why are you crying? Like, right. I don't, Bryce, I need to know if someone says that to you while you're, you know, in your feelings or, you know, finally being like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to share with you. And they're like, you're being aggressive. I feel like, you know, don't be so dramatic. What are you doing to them?
Yeah, I'm popping off. I felt like, you know, and there are like rare instances on the show where you can feel like the conversations are real. Like, obviously, yes. We know that the cameras are there and the producers like are forcing them to have this conversation. But it was just the attention in the air and the fact that Safari really just looked checked out. And although Erica seemed to be saying everything appropriately, I from what I got from it was that, like, she definitely is dealing with a lot with Safari. And clearly, like, you know, in this moment, she's attempting to be like, you know, you don't want to be in this marriage. You don't, like, you know, want to be here. And he's just kind of sort of dismissing her. However, in his like non-responsiveness, I really got that, like, he just felt as though she was putting on for the cameras, because I just can't see in any normal circumstance me talking to the partner, let alone the father of my child. And, you know, you just seem so remiss by anything that I say. And anyone that has seen Love and Hip Hop know that Erica is not one to keep her cool, not one to bite her tongue. So in this scene, I definitely kind of was like, although Safari is 100% being a jerk, I definitely was more so leaning to the fact that, like, he was like, not for the BS.
Yeah. And I think what we've seen from him, right, he's almost always in some situationship entanglement whenever we see him on Love and Hip Hop. So this isn't something new for him where, you know, women have been like, this is not a rap video. Like, let's be honest with each other. But he also just kept saying, talk to whoever you have to talk to and figure it out. So that piece is where I was like, oh, what does that mean? Is he saying talk to producers? You know, is he saying talk to whomever? Because, and then he's also mad about her throwing the pictures away. So I was like, you obviously care. There's something deep down that cares. But then you just like have no idea on how to be a partner, or you have no idea how to not use your Twitter fingers, because it's a mess that they take it to social media. And it's so obvious that they're in a throuple with social media, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I also feel like, Erica, you are no like victim in this situation. Mm-mm. Girl, you be on the Twitter too. And some of the times you bring the stuff up to Twitter that like Safari didn't. So I just feel like it just definitely for her to be pregnant, I definitely don't like to see her going through this.
Yes.
But, you know, girl, leave him. Kick him out. Like, you know, protect your peace, sis.
That's literally in my notes where I put like, okay, this is so sad, but why are you still with him? You have money. One, you have enough clout to get another man or woman, actually, because she on Love & Hip Hop New York, she was actually with a woman.
Yeah, so she was with Sin, who happens to be Joe Budden's baby mother.
Mm-hmm. And Rich Dollaz, I'm sure, will always live for you. Who's also this very old man now, I feel like, on Love & Hip Hop New York. So Erica has people check in for her. Like, that's not it.
And Rich Dollaz is currently the host of the show Cheaters.
Yeah, Peter Guns.
Oh, that's Peter Guns. Peter Guns, my man.
The ultimate cheater, Peter Guns. Oh my God, Love & Hip Hop New York needs to come back. But yeah.
This episode is made possible by PwC. It's getting hot out here. Moving the mercury can help move your business. PwC helps turn sustainability theory into real-world action. Reduce your carbon footprint while increasing transparency in net zero commitments. Start with reporting to identify your climate risks and reinvent your business. Create a more sustainable business and a stronger planet. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
So that's where I was really frustrated. And then later on, we do get in episode 2, actually, Erica's sister is in town. And that's where you find out she's pregnant, which, again, I appreciate the PSA. Ladies, you really do need to get your annual checkup because you never know. And how do you hate somebody so much but have a baby by them?
And girl, like, so again, as much I love the show Love & Hip Hop, because I like to trash talk it while I also enjoy it.
Yes.
And I am just like, for real, Erica, like, we gonna pretend like you just found out that you, like, girl, bye. You're 5 months pregnant, okay? Like, you're showing. But, I mean, if that's what you want us viewers to believe, sure.
Bryce, this gives me very much Phaedra.
Okay. This baby is ready to pop. Well, how many months are you, Phaedra? Oh, this baby getting ready to come out here. You know, 3 more weeks. 3 more weeks? Girl, you just said you were 6 months. I don't know. The doctor just said he's going to come on out.
Yes, for everyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, please go on YouTube and look up Phaedra's pregnancy from Real Housewives of Atlanta. This is where, again, which is why I think Atlanta gives us the best reality TV, like, characters. Because, again, I don't believe that she necessarily didn't know she was pregnant. Like, that's impossible. Not impossible. Well, improbable. And, you know, 23 weeks is not a joke. It's really not. And then she could be getting her period. That's very true. That does happen to people. And, you know, her sister is like, babies are a blessing. So please receive that. And hopefully your husband don't leave you. Which, again, if my partner was about to leave me, if I were to get pregnant again, I would I would kill him. Like, I would actually go to jail.
PSA, babies don't keep families together.
No. Okay? They actually make it worse.
Yeah.
the stress, if you're not always together. And, you know, shout out to single moms, because Lisa seemed to get her sister, Erica's sister, got really emotional with this, because it seems like she has a lot of hurt with it, too. And one last thing about Erica and the safari situation is that I want to say is I watched their like cast reaction to the episodes. It's all on YouTube. It's free. Everyone should watch it. And first of all, she already knows it's a boy. She shared that with us. So congratulations. And she's talking about how much they're together. They're so happy. La, la, la. So again, I have to agree with you, Bryce. It feels a little forced for the cameras. And we know that Erica and Safari are actually really good at that.
Yeah. I mean, it's their paycheck. So yes. And we know that Erica done had the baby. She's in the ICU and she's reporting that Safari is out in Jamaica living his best life. Not being a concerned father. So the plot continues.
Exactly. And on the YouTube video, Safari talks a lot about how he is so happy Erica's working out and that she's not eating like crazy. And again, these are not things you say about your partner. Like, do not ever even think that. I'm growing a brain, a lung, a heart. You're going to let me do whatever the hell I want.
Right. Pass me the Dorito.
Thank you. Perfect. That kind of wraps up that. And I just wanted to add my favorite man who, where is this family? You said it before, Mama D, the Scrappy. Where are these people? I can't believe they're not in the first two episodes really much.
Yeah, not a lot. And I have to be honest with the Mama D Scrappy. I am not a huge Bambi fan with Scrappy. Like, same. I'm happy they're together. But I'm not here for it.
Yeah. So again, this is another throwback. You can find it on YouTube. But Bryce, do you remember how we met the Bams? She was in the hot tub with Kirk and Bobby Valentino.
Mm-hmm. Listen. And then from there, honey, she then jumped over to Basketball Wives.
Yes.
With her best friend, Malaysia.
Oh,
my God. And then kind of jumped to Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I don't have anything personally against Bambi. I just like Scrappy with his first baby mom, Erica Dixon. I was here for that. And for the very short time that he was with Shay, Bucky Johnson from Flavor of Love, I liked that relationship. But I'm just not here for him and the Bams. I like Erica Dixon. But Mama D isn't a huge fan of the Bams either. I think literally like 2 days before the premiere of this episode, she posted this really weird photo or like this like thing of like her kissing Shay Johnson on the cheek. And like, you know, she was just like, give me a kiss. And then she wrote under it. It was just like, forever, my daughter-in-law.
So I can
only imagine that Shay might pop up on this season and that Mama D and the Bam might not be in the best place. But who knows? We'll see.
I will cry if Shay's back because, again, I feel like Miami is doing her really dirty. Like she was with someone from Pretty Ricky,
Pleasure P,
and he's useless. So, again, justice for Shay. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I also liked her. I think baby mama, aka Erica, is the number one. But listen, Erica Dixon has her own life. She has twins now with a man I don't believe know about. I don't think she's still shared who he is. And she's living her best life. But I'm just very frustrated because I feel like Scrappy needs to be with Erica also. And I will say he looked amazing in that red shirt.
I will give it to you because back in the day, when first of all, I'm trying to think, what was Scrappy one hit?
Money in the Bank.
Was it Money in the Bank?
Yeah, well, that's his song. And then he did Crime Mobs, Rock Your Hips. Or no, Nuck If You Buck. No.
I think it's Nuck If You Buck. Yeah, hold on, wait. No, because he has a big song. I can't believe I'm doing Lil Scrappy like that. Hold on, wait.
You don't want no problems. Yes.
You don't want no problems. No problem. No, that's the Scrappy. And back in that era, when did that song came out? Hold on, wait.
Probably early to mid 2000s.
So back in that day, Lil Scrappy could have got it. Okay.
I
was, you know, very here for Scrappy. But when Scrappy came on the Love and Hip Hop franchise, y'all could keep him because he got a little big and not to weight shame nobody. But, you know, because listen, we all done put on a couple pounds for COVID. But
me.
Scrappy looked like he didn't know he was pregnant either. So it is very good to see. It looks like he is a little bit more in shape seeing him in Safari. Connect. It does look like when Bam was meeting up with Erica and Sierra that she alluded to trouble in paradise slightly. You know, she's pregnant with their third child. They've had a child back to back to back. And this seems to be like the COVID baby.
But seriously, I think this is another frustration. So I actually watched this, like, they had this Arizona family reunion from all the other, all the franchises came together. And, like, it's BS that they don't like each other because, first of all, Scrappy is, like worships Bambi sometimes, it feels like, where she's like, the Bam said I couldn't talk to my baby mama, so I'm not going to. Okay, the Bam said I couldn't do this. Got it. I'm not going to do it. I feel like Scrappy has really changed, but Bambi is really dragging. And then another one, why do you keep having kids with him then? Is it because you only have sex and don't talk? Like, what's up?
Just sex and don't talk, child.
Come on, because that's literally her every complaint is we just don't talk. He doesn't do anything for me. We don't talk. He doesn't do anything for me. Well, then let him step up and don't have more children. How about that? Please. Ooh.
But she said this was a oops, baby. They was drinking what she said. They was drinking Hennessy and partying.
Yep. Hennessy and hookah.
Hennessy and hookah. Ooh, child.
Oh, my God. So again, Erica, his baby mama, Erica Dixon, was also in Arizona. So again, it was very weird situation that they were doing all of this while that was happening. And Mama D was around too, but it's fine. I just wanted to, you know, give a special shout out to my man, Scrappy, because that is like my number one. I love him. I got cameos from him. Like, it's yeah.
How much was his cameo?
It was $50. So I think that, too much.
I think that's relatively cheap for a Scrappy on Love and Hip Hop, because
true. Okay.
Giselle on a child. I don't know. We jumping franchises like Karen Huger and Giselle and them. They all like want like $500.
Oh, absolutely. Not you.
So no. What? Okay. So, yeah. Real so quick,
okay.
Though,
then Scrappy was good.
What did you order? You ordered a cameo for yourself from Lil Scrappy?
No, it was so fun fact. My husband's actually also a really big Love and Hip Hop fan. We actually talked about it on our first date, and like both were like, I think we're the only two like Indian people in California that watch this. I don't know.
Back this up, Sasha, because this is the real love. where you say you was from? Omaha? No,
Oklahoma.
The real love and Oklahoma for the brown boys and girls. Now wait a minute, so you went on a date with your current husband?
Yes.
And one of the first things y'all talked about was Love and Hip Hop.
So he's over here. So we now live in the Bay Area. So we were hey, you know.
Y'all done jumping franchises. Okay.
Same thing. Exactly. So he's like, what do you like to watch? You know, tell me more. And I was like, oh, I can't be, you know, sharing all my like ratchet reality TV love. So I was like, oh, I watch, you know, I'm trying to like say all the classy shows I watch. And then I was like, well, let's be honest. I had a little drink. So I was like, you know, I watch Love and Hip Hop. I know it's a weird show, but, and he was like, wait, I watch Love and Hip Hop. And then we bonded over our love for Scrappy.
Oh my God. That is so funny. Okay. So back to this cameo. Yes. And also, how long was his message for $50? Was it a minute or was it like rather short?
It was short. So unfortunately, we love the Prince of the South, but he could not. My husband's name's Karthik and he could not say it. So he was like, I'm gonna call you Kart. Oh. And then I was like, and I got it for his birthday. So it was a quick like 30-second message. It was in his closet. Like he didn't really have a shirt on, which I wasn't complaining, but you know, sorry for my husband. And it was a happy birthday message, which my husband loved because he didn't know about Cameo at the time. So I was like, yes, it looks like I got the hookup. And Scrappy was like, happy G-Day, my man.
Oh, hope not everything- G-Day.
Yes. And he's like, hope everything's going good. Happy birthday. I'm going to call you Kart because I can't say your name. Like, it was perfect. Oh, and he did it in like 2 days.
Oh, child, that's faster than me. Feel like as this podcast grows, I feel like the running joke should be that like people that listen should support you by getting people from the Love and Hip Hop franchises, preferably the people that's under $20.
Yes.
A couple of them out there to shout you out in this podcast. Okay.
Oh my God, please, Bryce. Oh, king of preview, not previews, king of marketing, because I love that.
Okay. Child, oh, we gonna see the child. We're gonna get all of the Mariah Lynn's. We're gonna get the
I would cry for Mariah Lynn. She's so funny to me.
I love Mariah Lynn. But listen, back to Real Housewives.
To
Love and Hip Hop. I'm just imagining Scrappy shirtless in the closet. And now I want to ask, did the closet look clean?
Yes, it was good. I'll send it to you if I can find it. It was like 2 years ago. Okay. But it was again, I love Scrappy. I think he's very attractive. I'm very into him. So anyway, let's move on. No more thirsting for Scrappy. Okay. But I loved the mirror thing with him and Safari. You see Safari and him are like hyping each other up as Safari's about to go have this hard conversation with Erica. And you see him being like, great, let's do a pep talk in the mirror. I will be respected. And Scrappy answers.
Yeah.
Look, oh my God. Yeah.
Awkward. But speaking of another awkward couple,
yes,
one of the people that I've fallen in love with, and she's not necessarily a newer member, but I think over the last like 3 years, she has joined Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Sierra. She joined maybe 3 years ago. She was married to this rapper named Scooter.
Yes.
And Sierra is one of the more interesting ones in the sense that when Scooter was on the show, he was actually like the character.
Yeah.
And, you know, and him and Sierra broke up, and actually like people were interested enough in Sierra that like she has continued on the franchise and there is no more Scooter. She started dating this guy named BK and like they were together over the pandemic. They got engaged.
Yeah.
Okay, a week later, child Sierra left, told him it wasn't working. And, you know, that's the last that BK has seen of Sierra. Now, I really like Sierra. I think Sierra is fun. I always tend to kind of like just relate to Sierra in the sense I think that she's super real. I follow her on the Instagram. And so I was just dying at, so they went to get the ring appraised, and it looked like he had spent $60,000 on it, which was like super surprising. However, you know, BK was feeling some type of way, so he was over the internet talking about Sierra and cheating on him. Now, all the blogs throughout their whole relationship have been like spotted, like, you know, BK is essentially Tristan Thomas, just in that regard. So I just think it's funny that he's like, you know, she's like left me and she cheated on me, which I mean, who knows, but I don't believe it to be true. So Scooter.
He's going to now make an Instagram story about you. Like calling him the wrong name.
Okay.
He's about to be in his feelings.
I'm literally Sierra-ing him.
Yes. So
they Sierra goes to meets with him at his store that in which Sierra helped fund. But you know, that's none of my business. And they have this conversation and it starts off really friendly. Sierra's like, let me go get something for you know myself. He's like, well, get something for your boyfriend. And she's like, why are you worried about another man? And then it like really kind of sort of escalates to the point where Sierra's like, I'm Eric. Ooh. And then starts laughing. And that's her current boyfriend's name. And then I felt like Sierra was being mean when she was just like, take it like a G and move on. I'm like, oh, girl.
That's exactly how I want to be talking to people now. Every time they cry, like that's what Safari probably wanted to say to Erica, where he's like, take it like a G and just move on. Because according to BK, she moved on as in broke off their, you know, on and off, on again, whatever relationship and moved on in 2 months. So he believes she cheated because how did you find someone so quick? Named Eric. And she's like, no, I dropped you and I was done with you because she's a queen. And she's like, I don't need this anymore. And she moved on. So BK is really in his feelings. And Bryce, did you notice this man had a heartbreak jacket on?
I did not peep that.
Yeah.
But I also think should be said, my mama always told me, I don't know what the thing is. You get them how you keep them, or you keep them how you get them.
You lose them how you got them.
Right.
Yes.
And when Sierra was still married to Scooter, and BK and Scooter were friends, is when Sierra kind of sort of like, you know, she was separated from Scooter, and that's when Sierra and BK kind of got together. So you shouldn't be that surprised, BK.
Mm-hmm. And BK literally, I think, has the funniest line. I hoodwinked myself.
Oh.
And I was like, really? Because again, I think seasons ago when Sierra first showed up with BK, all of that, she literally was at a round table executive director board meeting with all of BK's other women. So it was literally BK's like harem all together telling her how he's doing her dirty. So again, BK is, please, no one feel bad. Do not feel bad for him. He's annoying. He's been cheated on her a lot. And I don't know that she cheats. I definitely think she is the type of person, which I have some friends like that, that will move on. And when they move on, it's like they'll find a man pretty quickly. Like there's no, I need time to get over him and be alone. She is not that woman. She's like, let's go. I'm ready.
Listen, some people say the best way to get over somebody is to get up under. And listen, works like a charm.
Exactly. And this man seems to really be rich, and not just rich. He took her to Dubai. Like he has really like blossomed her life is what it sounds like. So I will say, you know, good on you, Sierra. Live your best life. Like, whatever. Here we are. It's just, I wish we see more of their drama because it's so bizarro. But I hope she's happy. I will say that.
I think Scooter is definitely here for a Love and Hip Hop check, and he knows his storyline is definitely
BK.
Who did I say?
Scooter.
Oh, Scooter. Which Scooter still be popping up too.
Yes. But yes.
BK is definitely here for a check, and I definitely believe we will see more of him because this Love and Hip Hop money is good for him, and he is going to, I just feel like, be a nuisance in Sierra's
yes
life.
Do you think he'll be with Carly Red? Because to me, that's his best angle. Mm-hmm. Is like he goes with like a Carly Red type where it's like someone that just needs, you know, some attention, and he can keep his check coming because BK is the ultimate clout chaser. Like no one can tell me otherwise.
Definitely agree, he is a clout chaser. But no, I think that Sierra and Carly Red are...
Oh, they're friends again.
They're friends, right? Even though they fought last season because, you know, Sierra was getting ready to go to jail. but I don't think Carly would do that to Sierra, so no.
You know, let's see. No, I'm just kidding. I hope not either. I think Carly needs, like, good girlfriends also. So, perfect. And now I feel like we should go to our newcomers, where we get young baby Tate. Bryce, have you heard of her before?
Chad, I'm going to just let you take this podcast because no, I haven't heard of any of the young ladies. Haven't seen them before. Haven't heard of them. If I saw the photo of this man, I hate to tell you, I don't know who he is.
Yes, that's very much how I felt, where I was like, oh my God, Bryce is gonna show up to this podcast and be like, Sasha, here's who they are. So I was like, okay, got it. So I did some research, but yeah, we hear from young baby Tate that she's an artist, a rapper, a dancer. So just like every other women on the show, unfortunately. But, you know, I feel like I like her friend group. I want to be friends with her. They all go to a Cascade skating rink, and I can't skate, but I want to be her friend because their outfits are beautiful. They're talking about how their whole life has upgraded, where young baby Tate is about to be headlining South by Southwest.
Oh.
Yeah, which I was like, yes, go ahead. Like, I want her to win because I think she's really sweet.
Headlining
online.
Oh,
you know, okay. Listen,
because I was gonna say, you know, they got multiple stages, right? So
yeah.
It's like, you know, you could be headlining the 12 afternoon jazz stage, but
yes.
You know, I don't want to take anybody's accomplishments away from them. Headlining is headlining, so I mean,
Exactly. And listen, I couldn't do it. So you know what? Let's hope. Let's give her flowers for that moment.
Yes.
And it looks like she had a like billboard plaque. I honestly like just didn't care enough to pause and like look at it. But seems like there was some billboard plaque around. And her mom is Diane Ferris as well, who has won Grammy. So I want to ask you, are you competitive with your mom? Because if your mom has something, do you have to do better and get two?
I mean, possibly I could see if my mom was a Grammy award winning artist. I don't know if I would necessarily be in competition with my mom. Mm-hmm. I think my angle would be like, I hope I could have a legacy as successful as my mom.
But that's exactly,
know how these... You know how these love and hip hop mom relationships are. Oof. Sliding on over to not Baby Tay. Who the other girl?
Oh, Amaretta.
Amaretta.
Mm-hmm.
She I don't know.
Oh, that was sad.
Yeah, I feel like I could relate a little bit more to Amaretta's story because she just opened up with her like mom, and you know, her mom was her manager. She's not currently her manager because she rapped about her. The mom didn't like it. But yep. You know, Amaretta said, this is my therapy. And so she really kind of started out a conversation with her mom. And her mom, to me, in the moms of Love and Hip Hop, she really does give me a realer mom, like a Keisha Cole, Frankie,
yes,
a Jim Jones, like, you know, maybe not all the theatrics, but I definitely get like a real from her mom. And so like, you know, I thought that was interesting. However, I do feel like, because I've seen enough Love and Hip Hops in my day, that Baby Blueface and Amaretta, they're starting off really well.
Yes.
But I've seen enough to feel like there is a producer, or there is like, you know, this boy that young That's baby say.
Yes. Guap Dad 4000.
Okay.
Now is listen. His name? Yes.
Guap Dad look all right. I ain't gonna hate. Okay. I ain't mad at you, young baby Tay. But I just feel like My Mona Scott loving hip hop senses is that these young ladies are not going to be friendly by the end of the season.
100%. If anyone again out there has watched Love and Hip Hop Miami, Trina actually wanted to do a whole, I'm going to get these young female rappers, you know, ready and, you know, put them on. And what that meant is she put them all in a house together and, you know, started like was going to do almost a boot camp. That boot camp ended in, I think, 5 minutes because they were all fighting, throwing wigs around, like
it
wigs
wasn't
in the
all
pool.
Of them. Now my girl Sukiana, because I love Suki. That's my girl. It was Trick Daddy's girlfriend, or not even girlfriend, because
her plaything. Yeah.
Well, not even plaything, because they weren't even intimate.
Really?
And she had said on there they have never had sex, and I could see why. No shade to Trick Daddy, because he does have, I don't know if it's lupus or something.
Yeah, lupus. Yeah.
But Trick Daddy back in the day, you know, could have got it. But Trick Daddy today, listen.
It's geriatric a little.
It's just giving. It's giving very a lot. And then especially with Trick Daddy coming at the Queen Bee and, you know, the Beehive ain't playing with him. But, you know, that the Trina and that whole thing, that was a mess. But then, child, you can't even say that, because by the end of that boot camp, Trina was trying to fight the girl, too. So
yeah.
It was like giving very much not what it's supposed to give, but very much given what Mona Scott wants it to give.
100%. And I'm thinking that Guap Dad 4000 might be the linchpin, because we only got a mention of, like, a passing mention of him. So usually when we get like that, these are like crumbs that producers are giving us, because we know something messy is going to happen. Because I'm assuming young baby Tate is going to be like, hey, let me put you on. Let's, you know, get in the studio again. Guap Dad 4000 might be around. Producers might give some alcohol, and one thing might lead to the other. I don't know. But Amaretta, I really like her, because she, in her opening package, says she's a tomboy. who doesn't want to be this like long blonde wigs, you know, heel tight dress type of girl. Like she's like, I want to be myself. And that's why I'm not getting someone. And it really, unfortunately, seems like there's a lot of baggage with mom where mom is just kind of gaslighting her, I feel, which I don't know, Bryce. I don't feel like we've seen a lot of wild moms where there's another person named Scrappy also, but his mom, I mean, is like, Karen is like,
yes,
I don't know how to say it nicely, but she's the leader, you know, like she's been through some things. And even her, I feel like is when it comes to her children, she's very kind. She's very loving versus I think Amaretta and her mom. Like to me, it just seems like there's a lot of like unresolved issues. And I think mom just isn't ready to say sorry, which it really hurts my heart for Amaretta. And I like want to be her friend.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I also get that Amaretta's mom throw hands. So
yes.
I feel like she reminds me of Scrap as well, too. Oh, and I forgot Scrap and Tommy were on Atlanta as well. Ooh, I lived for a little Scrap, too.
Scrap DeLeon. Mm-hmm. He was wild with his conjugal visits. Oh, my God. Child, yes, everyone. He used to have conjugal visits on the show.
It's giving love after lockup. Okay.
Oh, yes. Very much that. Yes.
I feel like the last couple that we haven't touched on is really kind of like the hierarchy of the Atlanta Love and Hip Hop, which is Kirk and Rashida. Very similarly, which I think is funny, is that, you know, Rashida is very good friends with like Candy Burris from Atlanta Housewives. Mm-hmm. And I feel like their positions on the show are very similar. They definitely, like, you know, Rashida back in the day was a rapper whose rap career was, I would say that Rashida was what the city girls are to the South for maybe like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And I think it could have gotten better because her manager and her husband, it didn't like he, I don't think like pushed the pedal to the metal in the same way. And you see her, I think season one. Yeah. Talking to Waka Flocka's mom. And Deb. His manager, yes, Mama Deb, who would have actually launched her, I think, even better.
So, yes and no. Like, you know, because here's the thing, though, like the misconception of Rashida's career is that, like, mind you, she had like a couple of random hits that I like knew about because, you know, I love female rap. Mm-hmm. But the issue of Rashida's career is that she wanted to stay independent. She didn't want to like go to a major. Who knows if a major would have signed her. But another issue of Rashida's career is that she was signed to like the label with Kirk. And Kirk used the money of Rashida to fund the record label and all of these other random artists that honestly never went anywhere. So it's kind of like Rashida and Kirk like built this empire off of the back of Rashida. So that's kind of really why I feel like Rashida just didn't really pop. And then at the same time, Rashida didn't want to give what like the Cardi girls and City girls gave, like she did in the beginning, but then she kind of sort of had like the evolution. It didn't really like, you know, then she was pregnant, then kind of sort of went through all of that. But Rashida is the saint because Kirk then cheated on her, literally had a baby, put the mother of the baby up in an apartment, didn't even want to tell Rashida. And like, you know, Rashida still accepted the child in her home and treating the child like it's her own. So kudos to Rashida.
I don't know how she does it. And I think she said it best, all these popcorn hoes be popping up everywhere around Kirk. But it's like he invites that, people. He invites it. And speaking of his many children and their many bistros, first of all, I didn't like their starting like sex wannabe sexy. And I was like, that's so fake. Like, don't insult my intelligence. But then we quickly rush into the bistro drama where Kirk, just everyone knows, has six children. And I think he only has two with Rashida, the one we saw here. And then the manager, Kai.
Kai.
Yes.
I got tea on Kai.
Please. We're ready. Let's go.
Well, no, because like this is all allegedly.
Yes, this is all alleged, everyone.
First of all, I love the Sunkai. But, you know, back in the day, maybe a couple of seasons, like season 4 or 5 of Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, there were like rumors alleging like, you know, the sexuality of Rashida Sunkai. Now, not that, you know, it is what it is. You could be whatever you want to be. But there were a lot of men in Atlanta like posting Kai's alleged grinder or you know, photos.
Okay? Oh my God. And now his girlfriend is the one starting drama.
I mean, I just think it's interesting because like I don't like, you know, I don't really know what the tea is, but I think that like it's interesting, like, you know, how he is presenting himself today with a girlfriend who I also feel like in this, like, I don't know. I just felt like you doing a lot of fighting with your brothers, girl, sir. Like, you know, let me just mind my business. Let me just mind my business.
Exactly. That Bryce, actually, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, first of all, why are they all fighting like this? Because it makes no sense. Second, I really actually wanted to, but I like, honestly got over it, where I wanted to write out every single person's job, because why is Kai the manager?
Oh, you know? First of all, like, see, this was going to piss me off. If he's the manager and y'all are showing clips of him at the store, what type of manager attire is that? Like, I'm confused. And I'm like, and Kai is the youngest of like all of your children.
Yes.
Why he the manager? Like, just listen, Rashida and Kirk, if y'all want to be cheap and save money and not hire a real manager, just say that.
But then why wouldn't Kelsey be the manager? She's always, always, always been, you know, the kind of like linchpin. She kind of brings everyone together. She talks to everyone. So I just don't understand.
Well, Kai, before he jumped out, like walked out, he said that his brothers and sisters, they don't want the responsibility.
Well, that's also true. I mean, this is, again, very opposite of Candy from Real Housewives, where the family here seems to very much mooch off of each other versus I think in Candy, like everyone's kind of involved.
Think Mama Joyce pay for anything? You think
Candy's mom. Listen, old lady gang, we can't.
You think Candy wants to pay for anything? You think, what did Todd bring to the situation the first three? Like, I mean, Todd is still mooching off of Candy. But listen, anyway,
we're going to hope that, you know, Candy's better than this. Maybe that's what it is.
That, I think that she's in a better position, but I definitely feel like her and Rashida are one in the same.
And they're friends. They're actually friends. So it makes sense, unfortunately, again, because I feel like at least Candy has a prenup because she's talked about it versus Rashida. Like, what are you going to do? Because why is Kirk going to the financial advisor by himself? And then they're talking about drinks are wasted, food is wasted. You need a restaurant impossible or, you know, like bar rescue to come. Because this is a mess.
They need to call that lady Tabitha. Give me the keys. I'm taking over. But
yes.
One thing that, I mean, mind you, people in Atlanta, like, they open restaurants like, you know, it's no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm also surprised that they're saying that their restaurant was affected during COVID because, to my knowledge, Atlanta never shut down.
That's exactly what I wrote in my notes.
I'm confused. But the one thing that, now, mind you, I don't know much about business, but I do know one of the, maybe the term worst businesses they say to open up is a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 50% of them fail within the first year. And if you are trying to tell me that y'all open up this bistro, okay, and you got your youngest son, Kai, being the manager, hiring his girlfriend, having your other son hiring her girlfriend, and having your other daughter behind the bar, I just feel like that's a recipe for disaster.
And it is a disaster. They literally, the video, again, everyone should watch this episode. It's free on VH1, where you literally see the video of these girls fighting. First of all, if my mom saw me fighting with anyone, I would not be having a job. My mom would be like, you're disrespectful. You're useless. Get the hell out. It doesn't matter if we are you know, blood. So I don't understand why this is allowed and why this family is set up this way. It's a hot mess.
Yeah, and it's funny because when the fighting at the store or the, not the store, the bistro, to be clear.
Oh, they do have a store too.
That what they do have in the, not tags. It's
I was about to say a NeNe Leakes store.
It's something like Tags. No, I think yes. Tags is candy.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Rashida does have like three stores that are like very successful. But when the fight hit the internet, like, you know, it was
pressed.
All over
it's
the...
It's called Pressed.
Pressed, yes. Pressed.
Mm-hmm.
The fight went viral. Like, so people definitely got to see it, and it definitely... But some people say it is... Any publicity is good publicity. So, I mean, I don't know, but I just feel like y'all just need to hire outside staff. Like, I don't understand why. I can get wanting to give your kids a job, but...
No, Rashida, I feel like, is very much, like, it's, like you said, it's on her back. Like, to me, why is this woman doing so much for this whole family when they're a hot mess? Like, Kirk had a whole baby on you, and you're still giving him access to you, your body, your money, your mental health. And then look at this, like, bistro. It's so bad. And I think Rashida, again, had the best line. I've never had to micromanage so many MFers in my life. And that, it's like, since season one, you've been doing this, Rashida. What do you mean? What do you mean? Yes.
I mean, I don't know. The one thing that I can say about Rashida, you know, always end on a positive note.
Yes.
her looks. Okay. Back when Rashida was rapping until now, whew, night and day.
So, yes.
Definitely has glowed up. And, you know, I love to see Rashida in this place. Oh, and random, because, you know, I'm just so random. Another legitimate career that Love and Hip Hop has fostered is K. Michelle.
I
am a K. Michelle lover. She like jumped. So like for real, before it was Cardi B, it was K. Michelle. She dropped this mixtape that was fire, and she went through an album. And mind you, every time that K. Michelle has been to Philly, which has been like four times, I've seen her live. I love K. Michelle. Now, mind you, she's messy too. But, you know, K. Michelle has launched a very legitimate career off of Love and Hip Hop. And then, you know, K. Michelle crawled so Cardi B could run.
Exactly. And K. Michelle actually gives us probably the most iconic line. She's shaking the table.
Say you shaking the table, child. When she hit, what's that girl?
Carly Red.
Carly Red, face with them flowers. Child.
And she said, don't shake unless you want to get shook. Again, not Carly. Oh, my God. K. Michelle is amazing. And wanted to go into country music. So you can really tell this woman's like an artist and wants to just do all of it.
Yes. She said a country album is done. So I am curious to see.
I will be listening on Spotify.
Yeah. It is very ambitious in the sense that, you know, black and brown girls don't. Black and brown people in general, but specifically even more black and brown girls, don't cross over the country. It's like, you know, it's like very forbidden territory. So,
yes.
And country music, despite what people think, is the like top grossing, industry.
Yes.
Like, you know, hip hop and R&B and like all of the genres, like it's the most grossing industry. So kudos to K. Michelle, because I really hope that it is successful. Now, I don't really want to jam to it, but K. Michelle can write a jam. And
she can sing.
She definitely can. She crazy as hell, but she can sing. And kind of speaking on that representation, I really have to say that although shows like Married to Medicine, Real Housewives of Potomac in Atlanta, and the franchises of Love and Hip Hop, they are generally known to be, I guess, trashy TV.
Yes.
And like, you know, people fighting. I do have to say that over the last year and a half, their angle on taking on the Black Lives Matter movement and social injustice has been really well covered and not like As if like they need to just put it in there for a clip. Like, I feel like they really do cover it. And so on these last two episodes, and specifically more the last episode, we see Yandy, who has been on her justice for prison reform from her husband, Mandisi. We saw her when, like, I believe it was like in New York, when the prisoners, they did not have like electricity or running water. Mm-hmm. And they were like literally like banging outside of their windows. She used her platform to bring attention to that, which is great. And then especially with Breonna Teller, justice for Breonna Teller. And still in this case, no one has been arrested. And so she had organized or was a part of this organization to do a protest for the 1 year anniversary of the death of Breonna Taylor to bring attention and, you know, to justice. And so I just really thought that although, like, yes, we might be tuning in for the ratchetness, the Mama D's, the Sierras, but I do think that they do infuse some really good positive messaging. And just to see Yandy and Mandisi, who is on parole and, like, mm-hmm. you know, went out there to protest. And last time, you know, Yandy went to protest, her and Portia, they were arrested. So yeah. It's not like it's the glitz and the glamour all the time, but, you know, really using your platform to make awareness. And so I definitely think that we just couldn't, you know, forget about Breonna Taylor and Yandy. So I thought that was really powerful. What did you think?
And that's exactly why I wanted to leave them for last, because I wanted to like end with them, if that makes sense, because it's so powerful. And this is exactly what I was thinking about. So I work in nonprofit, you know, this kind of stuff is what I do every day, not on the ground in the same way, but still. So to me, it's just, I watched Real Housewife of Atlanta. So I knew Yandy was doing this stuff because of Portia, who she talked in the like almost final scene where we hear these, you know, amazing, powerful Black women speak and use their platform. Because I was, you know, juxtapositioning Love and Hip Hop to Real Housewives, Portia was very much on her own versus, to me, this cast almost is coming together, because you see Young Jock, you see Carly Red, you know, really coming together to help Yandy, and not just help Yandy, but help the cause. So, you know, Bryce, I'd love to hear from you, you know, someone who does have a huge platform. Like, what does it look like and how do we use our platform for this?
I mean, Chad, I don't have no large platform, but
yeah, you do.
I think that it's important to speak our truth. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people sometimes grapple with, am I going to say the right thing? What, like, and I think that, you know, when you lead with your heart and you really speak about what you feel and what you see, and from your own experience. And the thing that I have learned is that, you know, people always tend to look through the lens of themselves. Mm-hmm. And for me, being an openly gay Black man, I've always have not had that experience to look at life through my lens. I've always had to, in order for me to survive, I've always had to look at the other lenses of other people, and always like kind of like, you know, having to maneuver. And I really do think that although that is like one of the hardships about, you know, the struggle of just me being myself and living in my truth, I really feel like that is the gift that it also has given me in the sense of empathy. And to always try to like really think about someone else, how they might feel and how they might not understand, but need to hear. And I think that when you speak from your heart and you speak honestly and truthfully, whether someone agrees with you or not, if you're speaking in your truth, then speaking your truth. And I always just try to be respectful that, like, you know, and guess what? We can disagree. We can agree to disagree. We all don't have to have the same opinions, but mm-hmm. I think that it's important for people not in the minority to listen to people in the minorities' real life experience.
Exactly. And that is why I think, to me, you know, I'm brown, but I, as an Asian person, you know, I don't know if benefit is the right word, but maybe it is, with, you know, from model minority status, where people really do think that Asians are quieter, smarter, you know, whatever, all these, you know, it is all rooted in white supremacy still, to, you know, keep us all separated. But I know that if I am, you know, to walk the street, I don't have the same experience. So for Love and Hip Hop to center this, right? And not just center, to say we're not just going to, you know, do it like have our cameras there, but our camera is going to be on the cops, and our cameras are going to, you know, be talking to Breonna Taylor's mom, to Tamika Palmer, to, you know, really say, tell us your actual experience. And I don't know about you, but when I heard, you know, we've heard it a lot of times, but, you know, I feel like I'm a little now away from it. Unfortunately, Breonna Taylor's name isn't in the news anymore. So this is so important for it to be back in the news, for us to be back talking about it, you know, on RHAP now, and to hear how her mom felt, you know, when she got that phone call. I almost had a visceral reaction to it, you know, where we were hearing about how she was talking about getting a phone call from his name, Kenny, right? Her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to really hear that. And then, you know, for them to be in the Muhammad Ali Center, where Muhammad Ali's cousin is showing how, you know, here's the place where Muhammad Ali couldn't eat even after he won. I think people almost like use this reality TV as an escapism and then forget about this stuff, you know, where you want to watch Black people, especially right on TV. You want to use their gifts. You want to use their music. You want to say the words they use, but you never want to, you know, hear this part. And this is why I think I so appreciated Love and Hip Hop, because I was like, this is what I want to see. I want to see the rally. I want to see Tamika Mallory. I want to see Linda Sarsour. I want to see all these beautiful, you know, strong women, which maybe I don't agree with at all times, but that doesn't matter because they need their moment. And, you know, so many people coming together, like hearing Young Jock, who we haven't touched on yet. You know, he kind of gets this like clown, funny, crazy guy edit, but for him to, you know, really like have beautiful one-liners to say, I'm less of a mess, you know, I'm less of a man if I wasn't here supporting this cause, you know, and hearing how he speaks with Breonna Taylor's mom. Like, I don't know. I'm so grateful for this. And, you know, I'm thankful for Mona Scott and the production team to really like go in there. And, you know, they probably could have gotten arrested too. Like, we don't know.
Yeah. I think that it's definitely important to say her name, Breonna Taylor. Mm-hmm. But even like watching the clips, for me, it just like rang true that like, you know, we all, this Breonna Taylor situation is such a horrible situation. Mm-hmm. But we know her name. And for me, it just made me think of like the countless other situations that happen that, you know, we don't get to see. We don't know that, like, you know, and so I think that that's really why it's just for me so important to just always to talk about it and to, you know, bring light to situations like this, especially with police brutality in this country is a real thing. And whether people believe it or not, I just think that, you know, even when you are not expecting to see it on a show like this, I think that it's a great reminder that, like, you know, there are so many struggles that we still have to go through. And like, yes, you can love us for our music. You can love us to be influencers on TikTok and you still are influenced. Like, you know, there's so many things that like, you know, culture vultures take from the communities of the Black and brown people. But yet, like, you know, when it's things like this, that it's like, you know, where y'all at? Like, you know, like, why aren't y'all stealing this and making this the headline continuing? So it's really important. So I definitely love the mix of ratchetness and, you know, do the right thing almost. So yeah, it was really good and very powerful at the end to just see all of the march and to hear Yandy talk and to see Breonna Taylor's mother. And yeah, you know, and see her be vulnerable. Like, you know, and they asked her like, how are you going to be tomorrow? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, and that was a real answer. So it definitely was great. So if you've not watched Love and Hip Hop, you know, you just never know what you're going to get and how you might relate to something on the show, just like on Housewives or, you know, 90 Day Fiance. You just never know the angle in which the scenario somebody's in that you're like, oh, wait, I can relate to that. I've been there. So, you know, I enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. And I just want to, you know, say like, Young Jock. Can't believe I'm quoting Young Jock, but not a song. But, you know, he literally said, until we get justice, we have to keep fighting. And if that means it shows up on your TV screen, so may, you know, so be it. And that's why I think a lot of people from Big Brother last year were irritated because this stuff was showing up. But these are real things happening to real people. And just because, you know, you can turn on your TV and escape, it's not something we can do. You know, it's like we, even when we turn on the TV as an Indian woman, I don't have, you know, that much representation. I have family karma now, you know, but where are our reality TVs? Like, we want to be ratchet too, obviously. And so to me, like, that's why this is so beautiful and so important, you know, for it to keep showing up. And that's why I want to say, if you want to learn more about racial justice, untilfreedom.com is a great place to go. That's the website that Yandy mentioned. And untiljusticejustis.org. I'll also like put it in the description. So these are like great places for you to, you know, get involved any way that you can. So I definitely say everyone should. So with that, I feel like we have wrapped up both of our episodes. Bryce, any other last comments?
No, I'm just excited to see Mama D and Scrappy. Oh, yes. Okay, with a song. I want to see the song. Okay, I love to just check in and watch it. And I feel like Love and Hip Hop is almost like you know, the Kardashians. You know, you may not catch it all the time, but you know, on a, maybe a Sunday when they run the repeat of like the 6 episodes, it's definitely something that can pull you in.
Exactly. And I got a bunch of listeners that were like, how dare you introduce me to such a great show? Now this is all I'm watching. And it's like, you're welcome. You're right. Welcome. Someone was on Mimi's sex tape episode.
Oh,
and that whole season.
Child. The fact that she tried to actually say that, like,
it was leaked.
Child, it's a professional tape, girl.
Oh, my God. And then shower rods went up that year.
My God.
Oh my God. For anyone that doesn't know, season 3 of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, this woman named Mimi tried to sell her sex tape and, you know, lying that it said, oh, it was leaked, so we want to get ahead of it and make money from it. And the first thing that the production company that was going to buy the tape said, no, who is recording this? Because there are multiple angles. So they got caught pretty quickly in their lie.
Yeah. It's a mess. It's more gems in the archive.
Yes.
As well. Okay.
And they're all on Paramount Plus. Go watch it. But seriously, this is like amazing. I agree. I'm waiting for Scrappy and Mama D. We're getting a lot of like next time on with Mama D saying, which seems like going to be her iconic line for this episode. When in Dubai, do like the Dubaians. And it's like, that's not what they are, Mama D.
Ciao. She said, and I'm done with that. B-I-C-H. Ooh, girl.
Oh, my God. In that order. Like, I love Mama D because, like, she knows what character she is. And she is playing it. And Love and Hip Hop very much has, like, a formula. There's a mom, you know, overprotective mom of a kid, you know, of a son, usually Jim Jones or Scrappy. It doesn't matter. And, you know, with like a baby mama relationship, whatever, doesn't get along. There's a like really strong black couple, which I think Atlanta actually is missing. They're trying to make Rashida and Kirk that. But like, please, they're not. I'm sorry. And, you know, they have like some up and coming artists. Like that's kind of the Love and Hip Hop production like formula. And hopefully someone big. So I'm excited for this season. I'm definitely, like you, Bryce, missing our regulars. And I hope they do come back somehow, some way. I don't know why Jocelyn isn't coming back. She has her own show, but
yeah, she has her own show on Zeus Network that got picked up by VH1, and she told Wendy Williams it's the number one show on the network. So I mean, kudos to her to be able to kind of keep her Jocelyn-isms alive, because you know, Atlanta has created some memorable characters. And so, you know, they all might not still be on Love & Hip Hop, but they are planting the seeds to their own orchard. So it was amazing. And I'm so honored to have launched your podcast here on RHAP covering Love & Hip Hop, Sasha. So thank you so much
for having me. Thank you so much, Bryce. And with that, this was such a fun show. You know, I'm really grateful again to see such important advocacy and for you, Bryce, to be on, for being obviously such a hilarious guest. Not that I expected anything else. So I'd love to know, where can people find you?
Yes, if they want the mess, I'm on the Instagram, the Twitter, Bryce Isaiah. And every Tuesday, you know, we got a new Issa Purple Pants podcast.
Yes, and especially monumental today. Well, we're recording this on Tuesday, everyone. Was the 100th episode. So again, just mazel on everything you've done for this community and, you know, all your emotional labor through it. So this ends our episode. You can find me on Twitter at funsize_04. I'll be on the RHAP Big Brother coverage tomorrow. And I'm covering Survivor South Africa on Silent Podcast on YouTube. Tweet me, DM me, share all your thoughts using the hashtag #LoveAndHapUp. And that ends our episode. Don't forget to share this. Tell your friends so we can be friends.
Okay.
Okay. Oh my God. Well, next time I feel like I need to do this on video so people can see us dancing.
Yes.
But seriously, you know the rest of the song. Share it with all your friends. Thank you so much, Bryce. We'll see you later.
In that order. And don't forget them cameos. Send her them cameos.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.